You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD. This week, we have Nicole Hale and Chris Triplett, who will be known as Chris because Chris McFeely is not here.
Default Chris is what I prefer.
He went to AA, which is auto assembly, and apparently he may need to go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous.
But he's already at AA, JD. What do you mean?
So
he doesn't have...
Yeah, he may need to go to AA while he's at AA. No, apparently he had a good time. That's what we heard on Twitter.
Yeah, I heard so. McFeely had a really... A lot of people have had a really good time.
Well, you know, they're British. They can drink.
Well, you know what they say, when in Rome...
That's right. When in Rome, go to a bathhouse. So it is going to be Fanboy versus AA, as, you know, we try to overcome the hole that is Chris McFeely when he leaves, because he usually does the news and fills in a lot of background information, and I know none of those things. For those of you that listen to me try to bumble my way through that Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes podcast. I went back and listened
to that.
It's hilarious, dude. I went back and like just skipped through and listened, and like every other time I stopped, it was Andy trying to say, well, who was that guy in that thing? And I was like, I have no idea. Like, my job is to facilitate people that know things and occasionally be funny.
And but if you want to hear something amazing, Mick Feely was on the last one. And he knows, like, little background characters that were, like, in one frame of a comic book. Oh, and I'm like, how do you know this?
Exactly. See, and that's, I think, what Andy was expecting of me. And I'm like, no. Now, Triplett would be, like, somewhere in the middle there, I would think. I think Triplett's, like, you know, he knows the stuff.
It involves Spider-Man, for sure.
Right, yeah.
Some of it.
But, anyway, so.
The good stuff. I try to forget the bad stuff.
Yeah. So, for those of you that are watching the show, you'll notice that Chris McFeely is being played by the 11th Doctor wearing a fez. So, you're welcome.
Fezes are cool.
Fezes are cool.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, we're going to talk about lots of cool stuff this week. I'm going to be talking about Earth 2. Nicole has something called Hibbity Jibbity Doo-Wop Shabop. What's it called?
A Tales Designed to Thrizzle.
Thrizzle. I'm sorry. You can see where I went there. And then Chris Triplett's going to be talking about... I already forgot. What are you talking about?
Daredevil.
Daredevil, that's right. That's why this is the book I keep trying to forget.
You shouldn't forget it. I mean, damn
see,
you for, picked, not for forgetting this book.
I picked it up, but I haven't read it yet.
I bought the trade for the first few books. We'll see if that like reignites my interest. But I don't have high hopes. At the end, Nicole and I are going to be talking about Hawkeye because somebody didn't buy it. Man.
I don't believe in books for characters that can't support their own book.
Well, maybe that's what this is.
Change your mind.
You know, maybe.
Time has proven me right. Hawkeye's had his book before.
You know,
hell, him and Mockingbird had a book together and they couldn't support it. If two characters couldn't support it, how's he gonna do it?
Yeah, this is true. You know, now that Mockingbird has like these powers and stuff, she still doesn't really show up anywhere else but like that Avengers book. It's like, you know, now that she has like the super soldier thing, and I still like all through like AVX, I'm like in a background shot, it's like, oh hey, there's Mockingbird. Oh, she's sitting there. Okay. And then, you know, go that's it, you know.
Wow.
Just sad. But some characters just can't make it. So, all right.
Nope.
So, enjoy, because for the next few minutes, I'm going to be attempting to talk about news things.
Yay, news!
There isn't much news. So, the one thing I do... Two pieces of main news I'll mention. One, DC announced this week that they are making the third wave of... zero issues returnable. So that's third wave. They're doing it's the Talon, Phantom Stranger, Sword of Sorcery, and Team 7 coming out in October. Those will be returnable. So meaning that the retailers can buy them, and if they don't sell all the copies that they have, they can return them for a refund. to DC. Now, they did something similar during the initial 52 release, I think, or it was during that second run that they did something similar.
Yeah, I remember them doing something like that, but like when they do that, I mean, what does it mean? Does that mean that they don't expect this to be?
No, it's sort of just like a guarantee to the retailers because they want to give the retailers the opportunity to sell a bunch without having to try to guess how many new readers they're going to pick up. But the interesting thing that they've done here is they've also retroactively added that to the zero issues. So the zero issues that are coming out the month before for Talon, Phantom Stranger, Sorceress, Shuri, and Team 7, retailers will also be able to have those returnable as well. So if they don't, again, if they don't sell through all of what they have and they don't want to keep them, then they can return them for a refund to DC. So it's, like I said, it's basically for a way for the retailers to kind of cover their ass. Because what can happen, you know, is they either order, they don't want them to not order enough stock, I think is the idea here, although it basically covers the retailers if they do. So, yeah.
Again, Phantom Stranger, a character I don't believe that can support his own stand.
Well, possibly. But I think that the idea here with the larger story that's going on behind the scenes with New 52, it might have a little bit more intrigue and have a little more tie-in than it did before. We also got, I don't know, we've gotten this, but we haven't talked about it much, but we've got our first look at Talon out of these the zero issues, because Talon is featured on the cover of one of the versions of Batman for the zero issue. And I'm not inspired. I don't know what to tell y'all. Have you seen this? Have you seen what I'm talking about? Anyone?
What is it? It's let me see if I can. Is it one of the ads that they've got for the zero issues?
I linked it into the link. Into the Skype chat. But yeah, it's also on the back, but there's a larger version in that link that you can see.
Go check it out.
Of Talon.
I'm looking.
He doesn't look very inspiring. I'll put it that way.
And it's what just, is it's hell?
It's this is supposed to be.
That's Talon.
He looks too happy considering what the story was just ended.
Yeah,
okay, I have no idea what this is. Should I know what this is?
Yeah, we talked about it. This is one of the new books that's coming out of this third wave of the New 52 replacement books. So this guy is supposed to be one of the talent agents that was left over and is now becoming a good guy. It's yet another Bat book is basically what you're getting.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Like I said, he looks way too happy on the cover for what he just went through.
Yeah, it seems a little odd. I don't know. So I have no interest in reading that book whatsoever.
So it's just number 13 for the Bats? For the Bat family?
Yes, I think so. It's 12 or 13. So they're virtually like 20%. 20% of the New 52 books are Batman books.
I'm reading Batman and Batgirl.
Yeah, I know. I've backed off several of those.
Yeah.
So.
Batman and Detective. I don't know why I'm still sticking with Detective, but I am. I'm Batgirl.
I even gave up on Batwoman.
I dropped Batwoman.
Yeah, I dropped Batwoman. So.
It's beautiful. It's still beautiful, but.
Oh, well, it's okay. It's not, I mean, my thing is like, it doesn't look like J.H. Williams is going to be returning to the art anytime soon. That's what was really making the book. I wasn't truly inspired by Williams' writing. I would even love it if they switched it. Let somebody else write it and then, you know, have Williams do the art. That would have been fine by me.
Like Greg Rucka. Those were good Batman issues.
There you go. So, but what are you going to do? So now that he's doing Sandman, it's not very likely we're going to see him return. Let's see. Is there anything else I want to talk about? There's been a lot of Kickstarter stuff that's been coming up the line, a lot of debate coming up that way about comics going through the Kickstarter route. I think the debate is coming through that, you know, it seemed like Kickstarter was going to be a way for very small independent creators to kind of get their work seen. And now what we're seeing is we're seeing even large companies do Kickstarters as like a way to pre-sell something, mm-hmm. like larger creators and things. It's like, I think you're kind of missing the point, but that's okay. I don't see any other big news stuff.
You gonna mention the slot thing, or do you think not right now?
Oh, well, it's not, I wouldn't call it news per se. We can talk about it for a second. Basically, Dan Slott had sort of answered a question on Twitter. I think it was this morning or last night.
It was like today sometime, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it was like this morning.
Yeah.
Basically saying that somebody had asked him if he was going to be on ASM, and he basically said, if you haven't seen it online, you know, it's not going to be announced on Twitter. And it was sort of like a can't confirm or deny comment. But I don't know. I have a feeling that, like, if there was going to be a change to that book, I think we would have heard it already.
Does Marvel Now end? I mean, what's the plans on how long will that last? Because he said something about after Marvel Now. Is Marvel Now like a next year event or something?
It'll at least go through that far, yeah. I mean,
so maybe that's why we haven't heard anything, since it's like a year away.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's going to at least start. I mean, they would start with a new writer probably after the, after the big issue, the 700? Would seem to be the time that they would. And all indications have been that Slott's still doing art, and, you know, I still see him talking about art and stuff for Spider-Man. So I think it's one of those things where he can't definitively say, but I don't see him coming off of that book. I would be really shocked.
I hope not.
I just don't see it. Don't see it.
Well, see, one gets to do She-Hulk, you know.
Sure,
he
can go
back. She-Hulk, you
sure,
know, I'll find it acceptable.
Sure. No.
Or Dan Ketch Ghost Rider, that would be good also.
No.
take a drink, whoever, yeah, if that's whoever, one of the rules. Yeah. Just do
it. Oh, wait, talking about Dan Ketch, Logan Blaze wanted me to give you this, you know, Paul Anderson, he wanted me to give you this message, JD. Johnny Blaze is a jerk, Ketch lives. That's all
I
want.
Nice!
I never said that Blaze wasn't a jerk, he is. That's what makes him great. You know, Ketch was kind of a wuss, so I think if it was, you know. So anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy has gotten a new writer. They're gonna, I guess, do a rewrite on the script. So I don't know what that's all about. Okay. So I'm not sure if that's encouraging at this point, but.
The first script was too much like Star Wars. Make it less like Star Wars so we don't get sued.
Yeah, really. You know? Something like that, I'm sure. So I want to talk about something that happened that came out, that was announced, I guess, this morning. There's a convention, I guess, in Boston called ReaderCon.
Boston.
And there, you know, a lot of conventions have this deal. This is something common for women that go to conventions in particular. You know, we see all the cool cosplay pictures and stuff. I don't know if you know this, but there's creepy guys in the world.
At a convention. Wait, no way.
Yeah. And so apparently at this last ReaderCon, there was a guy by the name of Renee Waller that was apparently being really creepy.
Renee Waller, is he French-Canadian?
He does have the accent on the final E, but I think he's local, apparently. And he, like, so much, like, I was reading part of this morning, but one of the women that had, you know, brought a complaint against him to the convention, you know, he was, like, following her around. It actually, like, put his arms around her at one point from behind. He was telling her something about how she couldn't say something that she was saying because it was making him think bad things.
What?
Yeah. Very, very creepy dude. And apparently there was another woman separately that he was doing similar things to. So, now, ReaderCon has a no harassment policy as far as the no tolerance, with the stipulation that if you're found to have been harassing someone, then you are banned for life from the convention.
Oh, for life, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is great.
Just kick you out for the rest of the convention.
No, yeah. No. And I mean, and that's really the way it needs to be. If it's going to be a no tolerance, it needs to be no tolerance, because people need to understand that, like, those things are not okay things to do. You know, very, very not okay. So, charges were brought, several witnesses. It went before, there's a con committee, and then there's, like, the full convention committee. Well, this went up to the convention committee, and they went, oh, we know Renee. He's really active in the community. He's really sorry. We're going to ban him for 2 years. Because...
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because you know him. Because
they know him, and they know he's really, really sorry, and he really
That doesn't
didn't...
matter. The gal that he was harassing didn't know him.
Right. Yep.
And
yep.
She probably felt uncomfortable for the rest of the convention.
Yeah. So there was a lot of negative feedback to this, negative response. And I guess it came out this morning that the convention came out with a statement that basically said, we really screwed up. They have changed their decision. This dude is banned for life. The entire primary board has been released. They've been fired. The con board is going to further review ways. They issued a full-out apology to everybody involved. So, bravo. Bravo to them, because they horribly screwed up, and there was a lot of outcry, and they actually went back and did the right thing. So, if you want to read more on that, like I said, it's been over Twitter and it's been online. It's ReaderCon from this last year, and like I said, if you just do a search for like the ReaderCon recently, or look up that guy's name. That's how I found a lot of stuff, was Renee Waller. So there's a beautiful creepy picture of him somewhere as well, I saw, but, you know,
beautiful, creepy, huh?
Yeah. It's beautifully creepy.
Whenever you say that, I just think of Lady Gaga.
Yeah, it's not that way. It's perfectly creepy then. Okay. We'll go for perfectly creepy. But you know, I mean, this is a thing. Like I said, it's like, it sucks that they came out with like this initial ruling, but it's good that it got fought and that the right thing is now happening. You know, this community gets a really bad rap, you know, the fan community and comic community, and there's a growing number of women getting involved, and they need to feel safe and comfortable when they're going to be at these conventions. And that's why this kind of behavior cannot be tolerated, you know. And that's why, like, a zero tolerance, you're out for life, is really the only way to go, because, you know, people need to be sent the message that this is not acceptable. So, anyway, I just want to say bravo to them, I thought. And because if Chris McFeely was here, he wouldn't have let me talk about that.
he wouldn't? What would he have done? Just, like, slapped you on the wrist and said, no, JD, this is a downer. We don't have downers.
Exactly. Isn't that what he always does? Go back over the show. I don't really run this show, okay? It's Chris McFeely, you know, he doesn't like to talk about that stuff. So since he's not here and he can't argue with me, then I got to talk about it. So,
wow.
Anyway, it's good news. This is a good thing. That's what I'm saying. It's a good thing. Like I said, justice can happen, you know. Good things can happen when the right people realize they've screwed up. So anyway, there you go. How does Bane eat? I don't understand this. That is my question.
He takes the mask off, and then he just about dies while he's eating, and then he puts it back on.
But he doesn't...
I like to think he has, like, a stomach bag. He just...
But you see his whole chest. There's not... I don't...
I know.
Is it...
Why do you make me think about that movie? Every time I think more about the movie, it pisses me off more.
No, that's, like, the big thing that's been bothering me is, like, I don't understand how he eats. Does he mash a banana through the holes?
I don't know.
I would question whether Bane exists or not, because I don't think he actually exists.
You think he was a figment of Batman's imagination?
Because, like, that character existed up until the plot twist of the movie, and then that character didn't exist anymore, and Catwoman dispatched him as if he didn't exist.
Yeah, once,
so there you go.
Once the plot twist had happened, he became entirely useless.
Nothing.
He was, like, completely useless. Like, you're out of no value anymore.
I had an argument about that today because somebody was like, I absolutely love Dark Knight Rises. It was like better than Avengers and it was the best God, Batman movie ever. And I was like, no, it wasn't. This is why. And I think I made him cry a little bit.
That's awesome.
Don't get me wrong. I still love the movie. Still enjoy
the movie. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Every time I think about it, it pisses me off because there's something that just was like, wait, that was wrong. That wasn't right either.
I still defended it. I mean, I still said, like, yeah, I mean, it was very good, but, like, I mean, no doubt. Batman Begins at Dark Knight is better.
You know,
yeah.
It just, it's what, it was a good completion to that series of movies, but it wasn't, like, I just finally watched Justice League Doom, and, like, that was a better, like, Batman, like, my Batman than that, than any of the Dark Knight films, really. I mean, because my favorite...
And you should totally read the comic it's based on, because you would love the hell out of it.
I'm sure.
Mark Wayne, Ra's al Ghul steals Batman's parents' bodies and basically keeps him busy the whole time as the Justice League are systematically taken down. That's the big difference.
Oh,
that's
that would
awesome.
That would be far better.
It is.
But see, what I had pictured for my movie was so much better, too. I think that's one of my problems. Yeah.
Well, the thing I love about the Justice League Doom, though, is, like, there's one part where after Batman, you know, basically rescues them all, and then they're talking, and they're like, they couldn't believe that he had this contingency plan, and they're like, we would never do that. And he's like, well, then you're damn fools. I was like, that's awesome. And then they're at the end, and they're like, well, we're trying to decide if we could discharge Batman. He's like, I don't need a defense. If you bastards can't realize why I did this, I'm fucking out. Peace out. Walks out. I don't need candy-ass bitches. I came up with a
version where Kevin Conroy actually says that in the movie. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Peace out. God. that would be badass. Yeah. Come at me,
I'd
bro.
Buy that. No.
Batman's like, look, not only did I come up with a contingency plan to take all your asses out, but you know what? Fucking worked, didn't it? Didn't have my ass to save you. You'd be dead.
Oh, it's awesome.
I love Batman. Real Batman. Like I said, it's not that I don't like the Dark Knight stuff. I do. That's good. It's just not my Batman.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get your Batman in the reboot.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll get that.
Like I said, like...
becoming such a cuss word to me, reboot. I'm sick of it.
it's happening. You can't fight it.
Yeah, I
mean,
comics are right.
Warner Brothers likes money. It's going to happen. Yeah. You know it will.
I still say one of the best scenes for Batman that I had that like typifies why I think Batman is awesome was in it was in the original Justice League, I guess. The first time they fought. It was it was one of the episodes early on. And there's a group of them, and like Superman's trying to shake this dude down for like information. He's like, "Whatever, Superman, I'm not telling you anything." And Batman says, "Hey, listen," and like takes him over to the side. And you see this look of just, and he starts talking to him, and the guy goes, all right, I'll talk," and you see this look of terror like come over Superman's face. And Wonder Woman's like, "What did he say?" And he's like, "You don't want to know."
Yeah,
it's like I love that's yep. like that's Batman to me. It's like
yeah, all they gotta do is just make Batman this like huge dick of a person, and just that's my Batman. He's just a dick to everybody.
Well, not just that, but it's just like he's intimidating. I mean, that Batman from that Justice League cartoon, the episode where they captured him and put him like chained him up and put him in the basement. And he systematically tore them apart using nothing but psychology. That was in the Justice League cartoon. You remember that, Chris Triplett? There's an episode where it's Legion of Doom, and they captured Batman, and I think they did something else, but they put him in this like harness, and eventually he got I think it was Grodd that he eventually like got him. He got them all to turn and fight each other. So he spent the whole episode locked up in the basement and managed to dismantle the entire team. Meanwhile, the rest of the Justice League was like trying to fight him head on and stuff. And
that
save
had
Batman.
Been like the last season or something. I don't remember much of the last season. I need to go back and rewatch it.
It may have been, but it was just priceless. It's just like that's Batman. It's like here's a dude that can psychologically tear you apart without even hitting you. You know.
Terrible. a paw.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know that when they did the episode with the Justice Lords and then there were two Batman, my head almost exploded.
Oh my God.
Like, there's two of them. Oh my God.
But if they can really get that Dark Knight detective idea, you know? And that's what I mean. It's like, Batman's intimidating not because he can punch you, but because of he can get in your head. That's what's freaky, you know. And this whole swear to me and dropping you off a building stuff, like that's not as intimidating as, like, you know, Batman shows up in your house, you know, you know, and like you know, sends you a letter to like your private post office box or something, you know.
Well, if Christian Bale showed up at my house to swear to me, I'd be shitting him.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I would be scared, but it's not the same thing.
Swear to me.
It's not the same thing as where it's like Batman shows up at your house and you're like trying to talk back and then he like pulls out all this information that you thought was secret and intimidates you with that, you know.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that Batman would do.
No, still, the best Batman is still Adam West. He was a smooth operator. He knew how to talk to the lady.
Well, there is
that. He could dance. You know, he's the only
Batman.
Oh, yeah.
How'd he have shark repellent? Come on. God.
He knew how to run around with a bomb over his head. I mean, that guy was awesome.
I love Adam West Batman.
Don't get me wrong. No, it's a cool Batman. It's like I said, everybody's got like their Batman that they really identify with. Mine is always going to be the animated
series version. It's kind of like the Doctor. Who's your Doctor? Who's your Batman?
Yeah, it's true. It really is. I mean, there's as many different versions. You know, some people. Anyway, this is a fascinating conversation, but it says nothing about this week's comics. but it's good stuff.
Still on topic.
It is good.
It is good. It's a good topic. So I'm going to read No Man's Land. I picked that up this week, so I'm going to get started reading on that because.
You need to tell us what you think about it because that is good.
I will. I've got so many trades. I'm back on it. I mean, I'm not as bad as like Chris McFeely, but I've got Gotham Central. I've got the trade for the first several issues of the new Daredevil run. I've got No Man's Land. So I've
you
got it.
You want to hear my sin? I've had Spider Island for 6 months. And I still haven't even.
You really need to do that. Seriously, you need to take.
Make a day. Dance. Cry. Nicole, you're making Dan Slott cry.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
so if you're saying if I read Spider Island, he'll stay in Spider Man?
Possibly.
I can't guarantee that. I can't confirm or deny that.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's I mean, if you read it though, you'll hope that he does, is basically.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Well, I still do because I like what he's doing in the ongoing, so.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, let's talk about this week's comics and stuff that came out. And we will start off, as per usual, with Chris Triplett, who's going to tell us about Daredevil, apparently.
Daredevil, yeah. Of course. I mean, like, my week recommend. There was, like, a lot of good stuff that came out this week.
Because there was
thought,
no Spider-Man that came out this week, so he has to recommend something else.
Yes. I thought, like, a lot of stuff. I was like, you know, action was good. You know, all this other stuff was good. Hell, even that, you know, Transformers comic that came out this week was pretty good. You know,
it
I liked
was
it.
Good, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, Regeneration 1 wasn't bad. But, like, dude, Daredevil continues to be awesome. And I had two issues to read, which was, like, you know, my birthday or something when I get two issues of Daredevil to read. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I get two issues? Yay! But it just continues to be, like, we're up to issue 16. And Mark Waid continues to find a way to make this book awesome. And you guys have not been reading it, and I'm just calling you heathens because it's Marvel's.
I've been reading it. I just did this week's.
Well, I'm talking to JDs who
okay.
I'm talking to.
Yeah, well, you know, something had
Mister.
To go.
So
Mister.
I have the. I ha- did I not just say I have the trade? I'm going to try it again. So, you know.
It's really excellent. I mean, it's like. If Dan Slott was to leave Man of Spider-Man, I'm not saying that I want him to, for God's sakes, don't. But if he was, this would be Marvel's best book. I mean, I have no doubt in saying that, because I absolutely love the book. But for God's sakes, issue 15, I'm just going to go back to it for just a second, took place where Daredevil was in Latveria, Dr. Doom's hometown. He basically got kidnapped from New York and taken to Latveria because of the whole situation with the Omega Drive and crap with his life and everything. Daredevil in freaking Latveria. Who in the right mind would put that character
in Dr. Doom's house. I mean, why would you do that? For God's sakes, how do you even tell that story? Well, Mark Waid found a way to do it, and it's pretty freaking awesome.
Everyone needs to go to the Doom place, yeah, mm-hmm. at one point, right?
Yeah.
See what they're missing out on.
But he basically did that, and what happened was they did it, continue to do something interesting with the character. They took the situation where they're punishing Daredevil to get him back for what's been going down, and they took away his senses. He lost all senses. So, like, you know, Daredevil without his enhanced senses, what does he do then? And he's trying to escape? I mean, this was all in issue 15. I've not even gotten to issue 16 yet. But that's the lead-up into 16. So in 16, he makes it back to the United States thanks to the Avengers. They help him. He finds a way to get out of that area. And in 16, we've got this awesome issue in which, well, he's Giant Man, but he's teeny tiny in this, so I guess he would be Ant-Man, has to go into Daredevil's body because the reason that he lost all of his senses, all of his powers, was because Dr. Doom's people had put, like, microscopic bugs in him to kind of, you know, kill his senses and everything.
Oh, like nanobots or something?
Like nanobots or something, yeah, and that's what was killing all of his senses. And Giant Man has to shrink down and go inside of his body to take them out. And it's just this crazy issue where, you know, like that movie, what is it, Inner Space or something?
Yeah, Inner Space. Yeah.
It's basically Inner Space with Giant Man and Daredevil. And you would never think of it, but Giant Man and Daredevil have a lot in common.
Really? You know,
their origins are just kind of similar. How they feel is kind of similar. Because, like, you know, Wasp is dead right now, right? You know, she's still dead, right?
I have no idea.
I think she
seen
is.
Her around, like, so I would assume so.
They kind of do parallels between how Daredevil feels about Karen Page, you know, Daredevil's lost love, who's been dead for years now, and you know, Janet, you know, Wasp is dead, and it's just a really kind of a weird issue, and, like, you know, basically at the end of the issue is the big deal of it, because, like, they continue to do just wild and crazy things with the comic. Daredevil finds out he's been gone for 9 days. He's been in Latveria for 9 days. So, like, his social life, you know, has basically been destroyed at this point because he's been gone for so long. So he gets back and he finds out what's going on.
Wait, that's
the
only thing you have to do to destroy your social life?
Be gone for 9 days.
Latveria?
I'm talking about his job, you know, his law firm.
I know.
You know, and everything is what I'm saying. You know, he's Daredevil, you know. If he needs a lady, he'll find a lady, trust me. He probably found the lady when he was in Latveria.
He probably found a bull lady down there somewhere.
But, like, I don't want to spoil the end of the issue, but my God, like, crazy stuff happens. It's stuff that goes back to the Mole Man issue. Like, for God's sakes, Mole Man was in Daredevil a couple issues back.
Yeah, that was awesome. Story in Daredevil.
But, like, I don't – since you said you haven't read it, I don't want to spoil the ending because it goes back to that. And remember what Mole Man was doing? Mole Man was stealing dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very creepy fashion. Well, at the end of this issue, Matt Murdock's life is completely destroyed. I don't know what to think. I don't know if Matt Murdock has gone insane, if there's this horrendous plot against him. I'm kind of leaning towards horrendous plot, but the way the character has been written during Mark Waid's run – Daredevil could be, you know, crazy as hell because he's, like, really repressing so much stuff. And at the end of this issue, oh, my God, it's – read this damn book. That's all I can say. Read this damn book, JD. You've made a huge mistake. You need to drop, I don't know, Scarlet Spider or
– whatever.
Whatever, but read Daredevil because it's excellent. We need to support this book. And that's it. Done.
Okay. Cool. Nicole.
Okay, this one I have got to give credit to my comic book guy for saying, you have to buy this. It's really funny. And I'm like, what is this thing? Okay, it's called Tales Designed to Thrizzle. Kind of, you know, like a little Snoop Dogg thing there. It's by Michael Kupperman. And each week, this is number 8. The newest issue is number 8. And each one of them has short stories that have nothing to do with any other story. So... let me just give you a little heads up. This is not meant for children, for sure.
Really?
They're very funny.
I'm
very
surprised.
Yeah, it's very irreverent. Even though when you open it up, it looks like a kid's the first story looks like a kid's coloring book about trains. Well, unfortunately, it goes a little crazy. As Grandpa explains to you, that if you cut a train in half, two will grow in its place.
cut a train?
Two, yeah.
If you cut it in half...
like a worm, two
then
will
it
grow.
Grows... Okay!
it does make sense. It's just batshit crazy. This, and then he's like, oh, look, this one's turning into a girl. You gotta make her look pretty so she could get a male train to like her. Well, then guess what? The train falls in love, and you see these trains having sex.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't even know that I can imagine what that looks like.
I think she just spit.
It was too fast. I couldn't see it. We're breaking our normal show. So it's like worms then, where they like wrap her. Okay, wow.
It's like a coloring book. I had to show that. But then they also show what happens if it says, sometimes a bus mates with a train, resulting offspring called a train bus. This one's part jackalope. And it looks like a train bus with ears. Like I said, it's crazy.
Wow.
That's just the first story. The second one has to go back with Murder, She Goat, like Murder, She Wrote. So basically it's a story about, you know, what's her name for Murder, She Wrote?
Angela Lansbury?
Lansbury. They even have a look like her. And they're talking about the reason why she's so good about solving these murders is because she commits all of them.
Nice. Uh-huh.
And so they're like, you didn't invite her. We're all going to end up dead. So she's at this party. And anytime she meets up with someone, she has this crazy look in her eye. And she's just picturing how she's going to kill them.
Nice.
It's at the end, and she's like, I'm sure we're going to have a fabulous time. And she's just looking at her goat, and her goat's like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The thing is, there's also some funky ads in here that, okay, like, you know, this song, When the Moon Hits Your Eye, like mm-hmm. Big Piece of, it actually has in here, it says, When the Moon Hits Your Eye, like a big pizza pie, that's assault. And it's basically an ad for an attorney. They also have an ad in here, you know, is your pubic hair too thin? Can you not make fancy designs with it? So
I'm sorry. What?
Because they're talking
Did
about...
Alan Moore write this? This sounds like Alan Moore.
It's like because they're wanting to you know do artwork with your pubic hair, but if your pubic hair is too thin, you can't do that. So they're talking about an ad to help make it nice and thicker and fuller.
So wow. Growing. So what? Like we're not talking like shapes, like hearts or stars or things. They're talking like
actually.
Like a giraffe, or like
not doing a facial expression of a vampire.
So I'm thinking like lawn, you know, like a lawn bush or something. Like,
wow. I'm trying not to think what they're making. Honestly, I'm trying to block that out right now. You know?
Is
that a horse?
The third story they have, they actually have an ad that goes on at the very bottom throughout the whole story, and it's for Roman pizza garden style ranch dressing. Basically, it starts off with this couple having dinner. Eventually, they get to the bedroom, and all of a sudden, the ranch dressing goes and has sex with them. It comes to life. That's another little ad. It's just really random.
So let our ranch be your third.
Yeah, exactly. And then they actually, I have an ad in here. It says, man, having trouble attracting your testicles? Then try the new nut butler.
Having trouble with your what?
Having trouble keeping track of your testicles? Then try the new nut butler.
Nut?
This amazing device makes testicle storage an easy matter. 1, 2, and 3. There you are, boys. Send $12 to Nut Butler. But they have like all these different little ads everywhere, and it's
please
just
tell me that's a text ad and not like
like an image.
I'm really hoping there's not a visual to go with
there's
that.
There's a little image, but it doesn't really show. It pretty much looks like a sock on your junk. But the third story.
I mean, because I was pretty sure that my scrotum was doing the job, but yeah. I mean.
But the third story was it's a, like a conspiracy theory about the moon landing. Actually, though, there's four stories. There's one about this guy who's like pretty much a superhero back in the Roman days. His name was the Scythe. Basically, he became like this superhero because he knew how to use a scythe and pretty much chopped off the people's legs while he was in battle. But the so that's how
he's a superhero that. Because he knows how to use a scythe. That's awesome. Yep. I love that origin.
Scythe. Because the only thing you see him say is like right to left, right to left. That's all you see him say through the whole thing. And so when he dies, they make this huge statue of him, and that's what it says, right to left, right to left.
Oh my God.
But the last one is a moon conspiracy, which is just like I said, falls off the wall crazy. Okay. Basically, the whole moon landing was a purpose to get a man to have his wife give oral sex to him because she says she would never do that unless they landed a man on the moon. So he was the one that put this all together so his wife would do that.
Now, that's – I have heard that before. That's a joke, actually, I think. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've read that online somewhere.
Well, the thing is the Pope heard about this, and the Pope's not too happy. Let's just say that. But there was also a third person that went up with Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, and apparently they went crazy. They killed this third guy. And then they had to send Detective Columbo up to the moon to investigate.
Oh, my God.
It is just so crazy. I'm not kidding.
There's got to be an easier way to get a blowjob than...
Am I going insane, or has Nicole gone insane? No. I'm trying to figure this out now.
It is so great that she reads this stuff.
I'm glad somebody reads it, but damn, I ain't going to read it.
By the end of it, Buzz Aldrin is half cyborg, and he's running a casino in Macau.
Wow. Well, I sure hope that that chick actually gave him the blowjob and make it all worth it.
They didn't say that. They didn't say it. But, oh, my gosh, each panel, I was busting a gut with these stories. Man. I am not kidding. It is so funny.
Wow.
The ads, the stories, they're just crazy. And it's so much fun. Oh, my gosh.
I'm almost interested just to see
what the insanity is. I'm going to think of other issues of this because it's so damn funny.
Wow.
I mean, there. Okay. You heard the conspiracy theory where there was like 15 minutes of silence when they were on the moon, you know?
Right, which...
Basically, it was...
That's when they went and found Sentinel Prime. I remember. I saw that movie.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, after Neil Armstrong said his famous words, he was getting all up in his face, you know, he was getting angry and saying some not so nice stuff, and then he's doing the gyrating like, oh yeah, yeah, take that. That's why they cut it off for 15 minutes, because they didn't want the world to see that Buzz Aldrin is a jackass.
Wow.
I'm not kidding, it's so... Buddy.
Well, Buzz Aldrin did he did punch that guy once, and that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. If you try to tell Buzz Aldrin that this is how it really happened, he's gonna punch you, Nicole. He does that to people.
Have you seen this? Have you seen the video of that? If you've not, YouTube Buzz Aldrin punches guy or punches moon landing denier, and you'll find it. There's a dude that was like trying to tell him he didn't land on the moon. And Buzz, like, told him to fuck off, like, a couple of times at least.
Really?
And then the guy didn't, and so he just decked him.
He just decked the hell out of him.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. You gotta check it out. It's hilarious. Anytime I need a pick-me-up, I just pull that up, because I love seeing idiots get punched in the face, especially by Buzz Aldrin.
But here's something else. Apparently, Columbo is a werewolf, and so when he goes up to the space, he's worried that it's moon's full all the time. So he's gonna be a werewolf all the time.
I'm sorry. You know, of all the things that I thought I would hear today, the sentence, apparently Columbo is a werewolf, was not anywhere near what I thought it would be.
Peter Falk, I'm in.
Wow.
If you guys want something that's just hilarious, that makes no sense, you just want to see something that's just like, what am I reading? But you're going to be laughing. I was laughing through the whole thing so bad. I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow. Huh.
Oh, the whole Angela Lansbury thing.
God, this is someone that spent a lot of time watching reruns. And late night TV and just like desperately tried to make a book of something.
I am not kidding. This is the funniest. I can't wait. I need to go back and get the other 7 issues.
Seven? There's seven previous issues?
You need to go and buy them right now.
Just
get off the podcast and go get them. I'm too interested now. I just want to know what happens. So go get the rest of them.
We're not going to buy them. We want you to and tell them.
No, we want you to.
I think I will. I'll see what other ones he has. I'll tell you guys next week. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
Wow.
Yeah, so this wasn't a new number one, but was new to me. And I've got to give 2 thumbs up to my comic book guy for telling me, you got to read this.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay.
All right.
Wow.
That's great.
And apparently there was an owl and an ant on the moon as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Okay, so I don't even know how to. I don't even know how to follow that up. I read Earth 2. You should check it out.
You can't top that. So no. you might as well give up.
I'm not even gonna try. I read Earth 2, and I think it's really great. And you all should check it out. We have the introduction of the Atom in this story. And one of the things that's interesting, I think, about if you haven't read any of this Earth 2 stuff, the entire concept is that. This is a world in which, see, Apocalypse also came to this world. But what happened here is instead of the heroes winning, they sort of won. the heroes from Earth 1, they beat back Apocalypse and lived. But in this universe, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Cyborg, Flash, Green Lantern, the whole crew... they all died in the process of saving the world from Apocalypse. So it sort of left like this blank slate as far as like superheroes go. I guess Green Lantern wasn't a part of that. Green Lantern wasn't a part of this group, but
they mostly play up basically just the Justice League died and now they need new heroes because. Apparently Apocalypse, wasn't the only thing that's coming. Something else is coming.
Something else is coming. Well, in this world we have the first – one of the things that happened in, like, the early issues we saw – the second issue was we saw the creation of – I guess this is maybe the third issue. The creation of the Green Lantern of Earth 2. This is the Alan Scott version that we're more familiar with from the Golden Age. And there seems to be something – I would say it's almost like this Earth's version of whatever is going on, even though I'm not reading it, in like Animal Man and Swamp Thing, like with the whatever the rot and meat and green and all that shit is.
Yep. I know all that stuff.
I don't. But Grundy does seem to be representing a version of death or decay, and the Earth has chosen its Jade Champion, as Grundy calls it. Which will be the Green Lantern. We also see the introduction of Hawk Girl here, although we don't know much about her past, although she does seem to have some sort of military background. We've already been introduced to the Flash, but this issue is mainly dealing with a little bit of the introduction of the Atom, even though we don't, other than being military, we don't know much about him.
What do you think about them just being younger versions of them? I mean, that's kind of weird, you know? For me, I'm always used to, like Jay Garrick being this old dude with a metal hat, and Alan Scott being this old dude with a domino mask.
I think it's an interesting take because if you think about it from the standpoint of they did that, and DC was always confusing because it's like you had Earth 1 and Earth 2. But Earth 1 was only Earth 1 because Silver Age was what was popular at the time, and Earth 2 was not. So they tried to make it the secondary because their focus was on Earth 1. So I think it makes more sense in this context where they're saying, this is another Earth, this is our another set of heroes. There's no reason necessarily for them to be older versions because
yeah.
neither, you know, that that world doesn't exist. So
it makes sense. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's just kind of weird, you know, seeing those characters one way and now seeing them this way. And their costumes are just, I don't know, I don't love the costume designs. I like the book, but I don't love the costume.
Yeah.
They just look weird. They just kind of look weird, you know. They don't look like the JSA is what I'm
saying. I guess for me, I feel a little bit like an outsider coming into it, that it's not as jarring to me because I really don't have much of a emotional connection to any of these characters. So, you know, I mean, I know about Jay and I know about Alan Scott, and I mean, in that sense, but I've never really, I mean, this is probably the most I've read books that included them, or these four issues. So
you're missing out, sir. You're missing out. A lot of Geoff Johns issues.
Yeah, but I think in that context, I think it's okay because I'm getting a new kind of version and introduction to these characters without having the preconceived idea of what they should look like or what they should be like. And I think they're going to live up to at least some of their ideals. It's just going to be – they're just different. You know, they're just – this is them starting out instead of – being like the older versions or being different, you know, on the same world. So, and I think based on what's going on over in World's Finest, you know, a crossover is going to be imminent. It's just a question of when.
You think they're going to go back home? You think it's some issue and they'll team up with them or something?
I think there'll be a team up for something. I think they'll leave it as a separate place because I think they finally found a way to do that in a time at which that's interesting enough to do and not confusing, because they've killed off all the main people. So it's not like the characters that are – the only crossover would be Green Lantern, but those two versions of Green Lantern are so different that I don't know that there'll be that much confusion. You know, Superman's dead in this world, Batman's dead in this world, Wonder Woman's dead in this world. So you don't have enough crossover to make it confusing and say, well, there's two versions of Superman, there's two versions of Batman. So, you know, I think that we'll see some crossover, but I think that they'll leave it as a separate world. But I really recommend, like I said, that you read, you know, give Earth 2 a try at least. And like I said, I mean, I think Chris has got a perfect objection, which is that it's different.
I really like it though. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't like it. It's just for me, reading all those issues of JSA, it's a little jarring how different it is, the costume designs and, like, as the big younger kind of hip versions, you know, of the characters. It's just kind of weird. Yeah. But I like it. I'm gonna stick with it. See where they go with it.
It's good. Yeah, and like I said, it's kind of a secondary to that is like World's Finest, which is good as well. It's good in a different way. I mean, because it's dealing with characters from Earth 2 trying to make it on Earth 1. And there's a lot of flashback and stuff that goes on in that. It's just different. But we're supposed to get, like, with the Zero issues coming out, especially, hopefully we'll get some more blanks filled in, you know, especially the Earth 2 Zero issue should help a lot because we should see more of that apocalypse attack and that kind of stuff. So this would be a good time if you want to get on and check out some of the stuff that's come before, because we're getting into Zero issue. So Zero months should be a lot of fun. Okay. So Nicole and I are going to talk about Hawkeye.
And I'm going to make snide remarks. I'm going to make snide remarks.
This is... The art style for this is, I want to call it heavy line, semi cell style almost, or cartoon style in a way. I mean, it's not the, you know, very sharp edge. I mean, it's a very ragged look for the book. I likened it to, I mean, this is the same creative team that I think had done a one-shot Hawkeye before. So if you're familiar with that, you're going to be familiar with the art. It reminds me a lot of the art that you see in that I saw in Who is Jake Ellis? Very similar style.
Yeah, very similar.
To that. the book starts out with basically, you know, Clint's been on a mission of some sort, and there's a whole deal in here where he talks about, you know, he doesn't have any superpowers. He doesn't. You know, there's nothing that makes him any, he doesn't have healing factor or shrink dust or whatever. He's basically just a dude that's really good with a bow and arrow. Well, he calls it a string and a stick from the Paleolithic era.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when you look at the first page of this, it looks like the shot from Avengers that you've seen in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, is this just, yeah. When I first was like, is this going to be a recap of the movie? You know, that's yeah. Like that very first page. I'm like, oh, great.
Where he's like falling backwards out of the window and shooting an arrow with a string on it.
Yeah, so everyone's seen it in the trailers. No spoilers there, people. So.
Yeah, but he's saying all this as he's falling down a building, essentially. You know, crashes into side of it, slams into the top of a car. And he talks about how, you know, if he's saying it looks bad, you know, it feels worse. I was like laying on top of a car. And so he goes through and he's like laid up in the hospital for a couple weeks. And it's like shattered pelvis.
What's he doing in a hospital?
Well, that's what
it's one
panel. But I mean, it's not like you spend all the time there, but it's just like, that's what he's talking about being like human in that respect. So it's like shattered pelvis, 3 broken ribs, sprained your neck, cracked fibula, left the clavicle, right ulna, and almost ruptured his spleen.
Yeah.
This is a doctor who goes through the issues.
Poor guy.
And he's like, I thought you said I was hurt. But there's little like sidebars in here too where he's like Paleolithic. I looked it up. but there's a whole deal like where he gets out of the hospital, and I mean, he does kind of, you know, very Clint Barton sort of things where like they make him be taken out of the hospital in a wheelchair, and so he crosses the street with a wheelchair and then kicks it into the road.
He's like, wait, I can walk. He's like, no, we don't want you to sue us if you trip down and fall. So I love what he does here.
So he kicks the wheelchair into the street and has a bit of an altercation with the nurse or whatever that helped him out.
The orderly.
The orderly, I guess. But the rest of this issue is sort of a series of flash forward, flashback, where, you know, Clint's just living in basically a fairly, you know, meager apartment in what part of New York? Because there's a part he mentions, you know, it's another one of those books that's very grounded in New York. You know, Fraction lives in New York and really got the sense of, you know, the city as a character. Mm-hmm. Even in this book, you know, similar like we talk about with Slott and Spider-Man, where, you know, he's kind of living in a modest apartment. And I was trying to see what part of the city he said it was in.
It's strange that he's not living at it's not Avengers Mansion anymore. What is it, Avengers Tower they've got now?
Yeah, but he's not.
I figured he would live there, because he always lived in the mansion in the old books.
He just wants to be in his old apartment, because he explained it in here that people don't realize who he is.
Yeah,
because people here have their own problems. They don't want to worry about, oh, well, you know this guy? He's a superhero. No, they've got to worry about putting food on the table, you know, just making it down the street without getting the shit kicked out of them, you know. And that's what these people have to worry about.
I got two questions, and these questions depend on whether or not.
And I lost his audio there.
So. Oh, no! That was just
me. We lost his audio. Try that again, Chris.
Sorry, my fault. I muted it. Okay, I need to know, one, does Hawkeye cheat? And does he wear that awesome mask that Hawkeye wears?
The only time you see him in costume is those first two pages. And it's the new costume.
Does he wear the Hawk mask? Does he wear the Hawk mask?
No, it's the new costume.
Goodness.
Then I don't need to buy this book, because he's not wearing the awesome Hawkeye costume.
He doesn't. That's not even a part of Hawkeye at all right now, so that's not even fair. Okay, so here's the deal. There's a whole deal where he's trying to – there's a dog that's hurt that he's trying to get help at this vet. That's the background story. That's sort of what's going on, like, in, I guess you would say, present. But like I said, there's a lot of things –
that's more of the present.
There's a lot of time jump. But absolutely, like he says, I mean – you know, you get the feeling for this character that this is a dude that just wants to be, you know, when he's not saving the world, he just wants to be a dude. Yeah. He doesn't want to, you know, live in the mansion. He doesn't want to be around all those people. He just wants to be able to, like, get away and do his own thing and then save the world every once in a while, you know. So
I guess we should explain with these time jumping around. It's not that hard. if it's the past, it's in red, more of a red background. Yes. And then the present, it's more in a blue background. Blue. It's really easy to understand where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. It's not as confusing as I make it seem.
Yeah, it's really simple. Really simple.
But there's a great part in here. Like, some of the things that Fraction has done in terms of the writing that has made this fun is, like, typically when you see other characters speaking in another language, it'll be, like, in the bracket and translated. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't do that. Like, he walks up on some characters arguing, and in parentheses it says, some Spanish-sounding stuff.
Yeah. And then he's like, Russian, maybe.
And then it says, back off, Russian, maybe, ? Yeah. I kill you. And, like, even I think later on there's more stuff where it's, like, other languages, possibly. Uh-huh. But, I mean, it's just, like, that's just, it's a fun way that, like, to kind of get in Clint's head, you know, and think about it the way that he's thinking about it. The basic story here that's going on in the book, because I don't know if it's not helpful to go through every detail in here, but, you know, one of the things he talks about is, like, in this building, there's a whole deal where it's, like, every night, everybody gathers on the roof and they, like, have potluck or whatever and just hang out.
So everyone knows each other in this building. They're very communal. So.
But there's apparently a guy that owns the building that's trying to sell it. So he's basically trying to sort of
run people out.
So he's, like, running their rent up really high. And
he's tripling their rent. And these are people that are just trying to make day by day anyways.
Yeah, these are hand-to-mouth kind of people. So, he goes to this deal where he hears there's this, like, casino, this, like, underground casino, and he walks in and he's just got a bag of money, and they're not going to let him in.
I love that little exchange, though. He's like, it's amazing where you could get with a bag full of money.
He does. He just has, like, a gym bag full of money and just shows them. They're like, okay. And he's in, like, a suit and tie and stuff, and he goes in, and it's just a bunch of, like, really rough-looking dudes in, like, track suits or tank tops and tattoos and shit. And he's like, so by underground casino, they really meant underground room in the back of a Chinese joint where a bunch of creeps play cards. Okay, I got it. Good to know.
I really dressed up for this.
The
panel before, he's like, what if they got Baccarat here? He's like, I swear that game makes no damn
sense as he walks into the room.
Yeah, I love it.
And so,
Baccarat in an underground casino.
But he's trying to barter with the guy to, like, you know, let him, let him buy the place or whatever. And, there is a whole fight sequence that goes on here. So it's great, you know, panel of, like, fighting and cards flying everywhere. And he throws a playing card and uses it to cut a guy's neck. So apparently he's...
Yeah, that was very Gambit-ish.
Yeah, it was very Gambit-ish. I was going to say that.
Gambit, number one, coming soon also.
But he gets smashed over the head with a bottle. but ultimately he's roughing up this guy. I mean, there's an idea of, like, there's a larger story that's going to be going on in here where, there's some question as to, who's trying to buy up these buildings and why.
He's basically dealing with the Russian mafia right now.
Yeah, that would be the thing. But the important thing is that the dog that kind of helped him out, because he gave
this
it a slice
breaks
of
my
pizza.
Heart. Oh my gosh.
Got hit by a car, but ultimately he gets the doctors to save the dog's life. And
well, basically, we'll go back. He runs into this dog, he gives him a piece of pizza, and this dog's like, oh, you like me. Well, later on, the Russians throw the dog out in traffic, and he's like, who the hell throws a dog in traffic?
Yeah, as they kicked it in the face.
Some very bad people.
Yeah, because the dog actually tried to help him out. He attacked some of the guys that were shooting at him.
This dog.
I want to know, is the dog going to become his sidekick, and can the dog shoot a bow and arrow?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
We'll go ahead and spoil the ending of this, which is that after everything, the dog is going to pull through, even though he's really busted up, lost an eye. What is it? Broken pelvis, broken leg, two broken ribs, and lost an eye. So it sort of harkens back to, like, the beginning of the book, where they go through all of Clint's injuries, but they say he's going to pull through. And Clint keeps going back and forth, where he keeps calling it his dog or not his dog or whatever.
Yeah.
And finally the doctor's like, well, what's his name? And he's like, well, he's not my dog, you know, and asks if there's anything on the collar. And the doctor says, well, the collar says Arrow.
Arrow.
arrow. He's like,
in Clint's way.
Clint's like, I'll come up with something better. But it's just.
But, oh my gosh, that last page just broke my heart. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's got a little dog companion and he loves him. He saved him.
But I mean,
I'm a sucker for dogs, people, if you didn't know.
But I mean, like I said, there's already like an idea that there's something larger going on that he's probably going to be dealing with. He's already made some like ground level enemies. I mean, these aren't big crazy enemies. You know, these are like Nicole said, these are like Russian mafia type enemies. These are totally something that is within Hawkeye's range of dealing with on his own.
It sounds like they're. I mean, this is not Ultimate Hawkeye, right? This is like Marvel Universe Hawkeye, right?
Yeah.
This sounds like an Ultimate Hawkeye to me. I'm hearing.
Like I said, and I'm not familiar with that Hawkeye.
Because, like you're saying, it's down to earth. It's more reality based. He's not fighting, Claw or something, Kane the Conqueror or something like that. It sounds like, the Russian Mafia, that sounds like more reality-based, so that sounds more Ultimate Hawkeye to me.
It's to me that he's going to be the everyday hero. He's going to do things for people that can't really fight for themselves, but in a more unsuperhero-ish way.
In a way, it's almost like, they tried to do that. The introduction of those ground level characters, like the reintroduction, like Moon Knight and what they did with Daredevil and stuff, and ultimately a lot of those failed. But it seemed like some of those books got too big. I mean, other than Daredevil, which obviously has done well, this seems
Daredevil's fantastic.
But even if you think about that, though, it's like it's not like Daredevil is that ground level hero anymore. I mean, if you're talking about he's hanging out in Latveria.
He's in Latveria, exactly. The Mole Man showed up a couple issues back.
Yeah, I mean that's not.
That's
not down to earth ground level, but this seems like it could be. Like, this seems like if they can keep it at this level, keep the comedy level up, which Fraction is fully capable of. I mean, I think last week or so that this book would hinge on which Fraction shows up.
It also seems very different for Fraction because, like, typically, like, Defenders, it's like that big. Weird, super powery type stuff, and now he's doing this. That's kind of weird.
But if you think about Defenders, though, it still has like that underlying comedy. It has like there's a lot of individual stories that happen within that, and there's a lot of really kind of smart, funny things that happen in that book. And this seems to be like an individual book that's got some of those underlying comedy, but has the potential to be a better story, a bigger story to come along. Not so big that it's out of the range for someone that is a human being.
Yeah.
And I think...
They get his personality really well. Mm-hmm. He's still got that little smart-ass attitude, that he has, just crack that nut and you see a good guy underneath,
Oh, yeah.
But he's a...
You see a man of the people, I think, is the thing. You see someone that, is fighting for the little
like
guy.
A Robin Hood. Oh, my God.
Oh, we went there. Oh, I was trying not to.
Just joking. Come on. It sounds good.
Wait, let me do a nice palm.
I might. I think you would like it. I think you would like it. I highly recommend it.
My only problem is that I'm always, when it comes to like certain comic book characters, I'm always living in the past. And my Hawkeye kind of died when they killed him off, when they did Avengers Disassemble. Because since then... He hasn't really been my Hawkeye anymore, He's been different.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can see that. And that's what, for me especially, it's like this is nice because I don't have a lot of preconceived notions about this character. So
what I know of Hawkeye, I learned the cartoons, basically.
Right.
Yeah, that's my Hawkeye, the Hawkeye in the cartoon. That's my Hawkeye. I like that Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I just hate that costume so bad. I am that so glad we do not have that costume. Awesome. No, that is horrible.
Chris Triplett will forever live in the 90s, where...
It is such a 90s kid.
He had that costume in the 60s. Don't say that I'm always living in the 90s. He had that costume all the way back in the 60s. It's like changing Spider-Man's costume. It's sacrilegious. You shouldn't be doing
that. Sacrilegious? Like that.
For a ground-level character that's a badass like Hawkeye, and he's going to still dress like he did in the 60s? I don't think so.
Have a problem with a guy putting on sunglasses and now he has a costume. That's just cheesy. I'm sorry.
But anyway, you should read this and everyone should read this. It is a darned good book. I mean, I went in with low expectations, even though everybody was telling me good things, and I was not disappointed. So,
I loved cool. it.
Yeah, so check it out.
I hope it succeeds, but I don't know. It's he's one of the characters that no matter how much I love him, I'm convinced he can't support his own book. So I don't know. I hope it succeeds though, since you guys like it.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. There are so many things. So we're about out of here, but there are so many great things that came out this week. We couldn't possibly talk about them all. AVX was pretty good. Avengers
Action Comics was pretty freaking awesome.
Action Comics was amazing.
Superman does surgery in that issue. That right there was awesome.
Yeah. No.
Which was this?
Okay. We're gonna talk about that real briefly before we get out of here. Now, Lois in the last issue was hurt when the I can't remember that guy's name, whatever, the Neo-Sapien dude.
Mind power guy. Yeah. I don't know.
And Lois was like dropped onto a car, or thrown into a car or something, like car windshield, and she's hurt pretty bad. And the little girl, her niece or whatever, like she was able to stop the pain but not like, you know, repair her injuries or whatever. So at the very end of it, Lois has about 30 minutes to live before she like bleeds out.
Yeah.
And so Superman like takes her to the hospital, and the doctors are like, well, we can't really operate because we can't get into...
Yeah, she'll be dead before we're done with the operation is right. Basically what they say.
And so Superman's like, well, all right, then hang on. And this is where it's like, you know that you're in like Grant Morrison, Silver Age Superman mode, right?
Yes.
Because what does Superman do? He goes and flies to the library and reads every medical journal in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Comes back, and he's like, okay, I'm ready to do the surgery. And they're like, well, here's a scalpel. And he's like, no, my thumb is like sharper than diamond. And like cuts her open and like does the whole surgery and saves her life in like 15 minutes. So in the course of 20 minutes, he learned an entire lifetime worth of medical knowledge and performed surgery on Lois and saved her life.
Okay, I love you, Grant Morrison. Please don't leave that Action Comics.
It was perfectly super. It was like, you know, we talk about like that. The Superman book that I read, the 12 issues. I can't remember. All Star Superman being like that ultimate sort of Silver Age Superman, and this was so that.
Yeah.
Like, it was just that perfect Grant Morrison version of the Silver Age Superman, who's like not only has all these superpowers, but he's got this amazing brain. You know, he's just like a true Uberman.
It's my Superman. It's the Superman I like reading. I like to see Superman do crazy off the wall things, and I'm going to miss you, Grant Morrison, so much.
Yeah, that is it is really going to be a loss because his vision is really driving that book right now. And it's just there's no way anyone's going to be able to.
I honestly know they won't do it because it's Action Comics, but I honestly would rather they just cancel it when he leaves.
I really wouldn't. I mean, just have to go in a completely different direction. You know, bring it completely up to present and change it all.
Restart it with a new number one with the new creative team.
God.
The all new Action Comics number one.
And real briefly, I think we should mention too, just because of our connection to Transformers, Regeneration One. If you thought Megatron was totally crazy off the wall,
I haven't read it yet.
Well, it's kind of first page. It's not even hardly a spoiler because it's like you're in the middle of the fray right off. There's one thing I won't spoil.
Let me get it out here.
But basically, yeah, Megatron has all of these troops, but he's lobotomized them all.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So basically, they unquestionably follow his orders. It's perfect.
I just love that he lobotomized Ratbat. That's just awesome.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Freaking Ratbat.
But it's perfect Wildman art all the way through. I don't want to say it's like you have to have Wildman. I think in a lot of ways is an acquired taste. I don't know. It's like it's not my particular favorite, but I appreciate it for what it is. And it is true Wild Men art all the way through. You know, Dinobot features heavily in this.
Well, it's Dinobot month, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, Grimlock features heavily in this. And, yeah, there's just man, good stuff in this. Really good stuff.
But surprisingly good. I mean,
it
like,
really
was. First issue was pretty dull until the end, and this issue's like all of the end, so maybe that's why it's so good.
Yeah, I think this issue totally makes up for the last issue for me. So, yeah. You know, the first issue, yeah, it was a little off. It wasn't quite what I was wanting, but man, this issue delivers. So, good stuff. So, check it out if you haven't, The Regeneration. It's issue 82, but it's technically issue 2.
82 in a 4-issue limited series.
In a, yeah, 20-issue? Well,
no, 4-issue. Remember, that's how they ended the...
Oh.
Never mind.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. You are correct, sir. All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's our show. We're even coming in a little bit under an hour and a half, but that's fine.
Why would that be? McFeely's not here. He's the talker.
I love Chris McFeely, and I love him even more when he goes on his little, like, I'm going to talk about this for a minute, and it's like 20 minutes, and then he doesn't believe me.
Shit, I would let him talk for an hour because I'm sure it would be the most interesting thing I've ever heard.
That's totally it. Like, he says, I mean, his knowledge is so amazing, and I totally... you know, would listen to him talk about it because he knows so much and really gets into it. That's why I don't give him too much of a hard time. But it is funny when he's like, oh, come on, that was only like 15 minutes. Like, no, dude, that was like a half hour. And he's like, no, there's no way. I'm like, I know it's okay, but really, it was like 25 minutes.
I don't think you guys mind. I wish I could just crack open him and just, you know, breathe in all of his knowledge. So...
okay. Hey.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. So
I've been reading a lot of weird stuff. So
apparently, yes, you've been reading trains having sex and things. So
that is
wow!
It's the funniest thing.
It wasn't even sexy trains having sex either. It was like worms.
She had eyelashes and you know, Botox for lips.
Yeah, but it was like the worms, like the way they like wrap around each other and ah. Anyway.
It's so cute because they actually like met up and everything, and they had like.
God, it's a love story.
It's a little love story.
On that note,
with Grandpa watching in the background.
God. God. A buddy of mine. I don't know why I'm going to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it's creepy and funny. But a buddy of mine, he's kind of a world traveler. A guy I went to college with. And him and his girlfriend were out, and I guess they're in India right now. And so this was like his Facebook update from this morning. Indian train attendant to his girlfriend and him. I could put you in first class cabin if you want to have sex. Or if you want to have sex here, I will go outside the curtains and stand guard. Or if you just want to have sex in front of me, I will close my eyes. It is okay.
Wow.
So... if you're ever traveling in India, it's good to know that there are train attendants who will look out for you if you want to copulate.
That's customer service.
In your cat, isn't it, though? It's so nice of that guy. So nice of him. Like, wherever you'd want to go to copulate and make babies, he would have your back, that guy.
Girl.
Wow. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. On that note, then, we are definitely going to get out of here. Important thing to remember and point out, I mentioned last week that we would be having an app soon, and like the next day, Kilby rolled out the app. If you have an Android-powered smartphone, you can go to the Play Market and do a search for Fanboy Versus, and you will find our app. It's going to let you download all the latest episodes. As well as past episodes, so you can keep up. There's a link to our Twitter page, I believe, so you can also keep up with Twitter and everything as well. So, again, go to the Play Market, do a search for Fanboy Versus. You can also search, I think, for TF Radio Network, but it should pull up. I'll try to make sure there's a link somewhere. I'll link it again on the Twitter because I think I mentioned it on Twitter. earlier in the week. But definitely please download the app. That's going to be a great way to take the show with you wherever you go and listen to us talk about comics like we do. So check that out. Anyway, our website is fanboyversus.com. You can get all of our past shows, not only in audio format, but video as well.
Yep.
Because we do that sort of thing. We like the video.
You could go way in the past where I destroyed a comic book.
You can go back to the archives and see where Nicole destroyed Butcher
That's
Baker.
That's a great episode, by the way.
It is a great episode. we have literally hundred and twelve. There's 111 there now in the archive. 112 once this goes up.
So it's like, if there was a playlist, it would be the time Nicole destroyed a comic, and it would be the time that McFeely made Jeff Loeb cry.
Right.
God. Oh, God.
Which time was that? God, let me do that
soon. If you remember what I'm talking about, then you would definitely never forget this. Yeah. You were there. But, my God, I can't believe it. We didn't say anything. He just talked for like an hour. It was amazing.
I
think it was actually August of last year where I mentioned Spider-Man has pheromone farts.
Yep.
I was thinking about that one, but I can't remember which episode that was.
That's a good one. That's all in there.
Every time I see Spider-Woman, I think of that now.
And there's some interviews in there as well. You can go back. We interviewed Troy Hickman, who came up with Twilight Guardian.
Dan Juergens.
We talked to Dan Juergens as well. And if you go back to our 100th episode, which was just a few months ago, we did talk to
John Barber.
Thank you.
That was an awesome episode.
And, the 100th episode is a lot of fun. So if you want to check some stuff out. Anyway, go back, check it out. It's all on YouTube as well. So there's all that kind of stuff. Anyway, check that out. Go to Twitter. @FanboyVS, we recommend you follow us there. We do try to tweet news, and live tweet and stuff as well when we're doing the show. Speaking of which, you can listen and watch the show live every Sunday. That's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT time. For those of you on the other side of the ocean, and you can do your calculations for time zones appropriately from that. So we record live. You can go to...
Go Mountain Time Zone.
Yeah. Four people. tfradio.net/live is where you want to go to get the live show. It's always a lot of fun. Sometimes follow along. We try to follow the chat whenever we can, and we always appreciate interaction. If you don't want to interact live and you do have a question, you can always send us a question through, I believe it's crew at, no, what is it? Question? Anyway, it's on the website. somewhere. There's an email link. You can always send us a comment. We try to respond to those whenever we get those. So if you do have a question or comment, let us know. All right. I've droned on enough for the end of the show. So I want to thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Chris Triplett.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me rant about some crazy shit.
That was so crazy and so great.
Gotta go read it. It's so good, people.
So there you go.
It's a new landmark moment. Like, it makes that top 10 list. It's insane. Yeah.
It's going to be – we'll be talking about it at the end of the year for sure.
I think so.
End of the year wrap-up. So.
Too bad McFeely wasn't here so I could have blown his mind.
I know. It would have been all over the place. Too.
If it comes out – because it's one of those ones that doesn't come out on regular.
Oh, it's
if
just,
once
yeah.
The next one comes out, I'll be reviewing
it. So. Let us know ahead of time. So. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. And please tune in next time when it will be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy versus... Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.